Hey there, it's Chris. Before we get started, I just wanted to say that this was recorded in March of 2020, before things kind of went crazy. So if you're listening and you're thinking to yourself, Catlandia has been out of beta for a long time, or Vault Supreme's podcast has seasons worth of episodes, this is why. The pandemic made it difficult for us to finish our composition for a number of reasons, but we were finally able to get together a couple of weeks ago in person and do the last bit of work we needed to finish up the piece. It was never really our intention to have any kind of set schedule in the way that we released these, but we never really wanted it to go, you know, almost 2 years from the beginning to when it actually came out. So especially if you were someone who sent us suggestions for a track to listen to, thanks for your patience. And hopefully it was worth the wait. Thank you all for listening, and we hope you're doing well. Now let's get to jamming.
I'm Matthew, professional composer.
And I'm Chris, and I've got 4 duty cycles to choose from.
And this is VG Jam.
Welcome to VG Jam, a podcast where we listen to video game music, old and new, talk about it, and then jam on it. And by jam on it, I mean create our own piece of music inspired by it. I'm Chris Steenerson. I'm here with my good friend Matt Sargent. Hello, Matt.
How you doing, Chris?
Doing great. This is our 3rd episode. Our theme this time is going to be epic adventures. And we have taken a lot of suggestions from the community on this one. We have twice the number of songs we've listened to so far in this particular episode, and it's going to be full of good stuff, and I'm excited. How about you?
Very much so, man.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we discussed this topic a little bit prior in our last episode, our last recap episode. You had the idea of maybe something action-adventure as kind of a theme to work with, and we narrowed that down a little bit to epic adventure as we discussed it a little. And I think that maybe that's a slightly less broad than action adventure, but still pretty open for a lot of different things. So explain a little bit how you feel about what you feel the topic embodies.
Well, since I compose this kind of cinematic style, I've always kind of wanted to do a podcast on the video game aspect of it. You know, this adventurous, epic cinematic sound that I hear in video games a lot. So, you know, I've always wanted to kind of dissect and look more deep into
kind of get into the video game side of it more.
Yeah.
Like you listen to the movie part of it a whole lot. And
right.
You wanted to sort of like kind of analyze the video.
Analyze the video game part. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So
I dig it. This is I like this kind of music, but it's not the kind of stuff I typically listen to day to day, but listening to the tracks that were chosen and suggested, like, so much good stuff in here. Why don't we go ahead and check out our first track?
Let's do it.
So Matt, you chose the first one. You picked this from one of our community picks, and that was provided to us by Electric Boogaloo. And Matt, what is the track that we chose?
We chose a track from the game Gravity Rush. It's called Resistance and Extermination. It's by Kohei Tanaka. And like Chris said, it was picked by Electric Boogaloo. Here we go.
Thank you.
That is incredible. That is such a good track. Matt, why did you like that one so much?
Well, for one, I mean, in my humble opinion, I think all music sounds better live. And this is a live orchestral track for a video game, which is awesome. Number one, I love the sweeping melodies that you're hearing with the strings and the horns and the brass and all that. I also like the quick motion that you're hearing. It's very fast and quick, and it's jumpy, and there's not really much time to breathe, which is awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of energy.
A lot of energy in this, but the quick motion with the harp, glissandos, and strings are just amazing in this. So, that's one of the many things I like about this.
Yeah, the beginning, like, I liked the kind of goes back and there's like this call and response thing between the horns and the strings in the beginning, and the strings come in and it's like this soaring thing that, like, it makes you feel like you're flying through the sky. Like, I've never played this game, but my understanding is that it plays with gravity and, you know, kind of turning thing, like the world on its head, you know, sort of thing. And I feel like the way the song sounds kind of, you feel like you're kind of off balance and floating through parts of it, you know?
Right.
And it's like you're soaring, but then it's like it gets exciting and like almost dangerous sounding with the way some of the low strings come in and sound. And like, yeah, I feel like I have not played this game, but I have a pretty good picture of like the way it'll be, you know, if I ever do.
Yeah.
The way it sounds.
Yeah, this is really, it's very adventurous, and it's just... I was going to point out the chord progressions and modulation, and of course what that means, and I guess in music terms for those listening, is that you know, you're transitioning from one key to the next, like what he just did. It's really well done. He keeps transitioning and then he goes back to the original idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I love, like right now, that's just lovely, very lovely.
The piano is really cool sounding too.
Yeah.
I didn't really notice that as much, but like, yeah, that's really got that energy that you were talking about before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is good stuff,
man.
It's it just never gets boring. You know, it's a piece that's 3.5 minutes long, and that's I've not played the game either, but I can kind of visualize something to do with like shifting gravity and like upside down, and then you're your right side up again, and it's
seems
really
like
cool.
The music seems like it's communicating that somehow. It's neat. It's really neat. Yeah, man. Good pick.
Stuff.
Good pick. Like, thanks again to Electric Boogaloo for choosing that. He picked out a whole bunch of tracks for
he
us
did.
to choose from.
Good stuff.
And everything that he picked was great, as usual. On that note, actually, I think in our recap episode, I want to go back through and play all of the suggestions that we didn't actually use this episode, and we can just talk about them, because they're all, like, everything everybody picked was really good. So,
sure.
We'll talk about some of that stuff more, and then hopefully, you know, of course, there'll be some good conversation from that. Okay, so, on our Gravity Rush track, what were the things that we wanted to take into our own composition?
Well, for me, the sweeping melodies. Yeah, I think that's what caught my attention first, was the sweeping melodies with the strings, the brass, the horns, all that stuff was inspiring to compose something like that to make it catchy.
Yeah, and for me, I think the kind of call and response thing I really liked with the strings and the trumpets, and also, like, I really loved how it feels like it's a soaring through the air sort of thing and kind of gives you this sort of floaty feeling, so... I want that.
Definitely.
But let's move on to the next one. This one comes to us from Arker33, aka Derek from the VGM Lounge podcast, who actually lives in our town. Can you believe that?
Does he really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we might have to hang out with that guy one day. This is from Golden Sun, The Lost Age, and it is Walking Forward with Determination, composed by Motoi Sakuraba.
Awesome. So, Chris, why did you select that track?
I think it definitely brings the adventure. It feels a little more like you are marching into the adventure. It's kind of got this sort of trekking energy, stomping along into the battle sort of feeling. You're going off on a mission. It's definitely bringing it that way. The stuff that I like, it's got the big drums, the militaristic drumming thing. It sounds very marchy, kind of marching snare sort of thing. It's got like a driving energy right from the beginning. Like there's no easing into it in this one. It's like
no kaboom, intro.
You're marching. Yeah. There's a kind of alternating bass sort of guitar thing going on that's interesting that I would not have necessarily pictured in a sort of adventure-y kind of militaristic marching sort of track, but mm-hmm. I think it's cool. I think it sounds interesting that way. The strings and the brass, they're good. They're keeping it going in this song too. I think that might be something that is a recurring theme in this sort of adventure stuff is the strings and the brass.
Strings
there.
And the brass.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. What do you like about this?
My notes are very similar. I like the pounding timpani. It drives the piece. And you know, keeps it going. The marching snare is really good. It's constant and consistent. And simplistic chords. The last piece we just looked at, Gravity Rush, had complex chords and doing all this modulated stuff. This is very simple and it works so well because it's just basically three or four chords.
Yeah.
But I like that a lot. And I like the mix of the synth bass. It sounds like a synth bass and the orchestral elements. That's together.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about this
piece.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I think that's something that might be kind of video gamey about it. This was a Game Boy Advance game, and it does not sound like a Game Boy Advance track to me. I think it sounds like maybe this might be totally recorded and like baked down into one audio file. Like I would think about like a Game Boy. I know like it kind of worked like a Super Nintendo did in a lot of ways, where it was like you had sampled instruments, but it was still being played back with like MIDI data or something. And this kind of feels like this was just somebody composed a thing on a synth and a computer and recorded some stuff. And, you know, that whole thing got spit out into a file that the game was playing back. But it sounds really good.
Yeah, it does.
Especially for a Game Boy Advance game. I dig it.
I really like it. It's a good
choice.
Track. Yeah, very nice.
So, takeaways on this one. For me, the militaristic thing, I like the kind of marchiness of it. I think that's something that we could use. Maybe that bass guitar thing.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say the similar thing with the mix of the synths and the strings and brass. I think that was really well done. That's what I liked about the piece, and that's something we can incorporate into our composition, you know, to kind of create, you know, synth elements versus orchestral elements and kind of combine them. Kind of a hybrid.
Yeah, there's
so
some more of that coming.
Yeah, man.
Some ways that I really love. So, cool.
Cool.
All right, our next track is a pick from Ryan DS, who is currently working on a game called Catlandia, which I feel like I might have heard that that's in early access or something. I want to go check that out, and everyone else should too. He picked what track, Matt?
This track is from the game Xenoblade Chronicles 2. It's entitled Argentum Trade Guild Goldmouth Day.
Oh, man. Good work. You said it.
That is a mouthful. Yes. It is by, we have four composers here, and this one is one familiar name that we've heard of, Yasunori Mitsuda, then ACE or Ace, Kenji Hiramatsu, and Manami Kiyota. Thank you.
That's a nice one. Matt, what did you like about that one? What made you pick it?
The overall adventure. It's a very happy piece of music. It's got a lot of, you know, just happy, you know, joyful sound with the major key. It's in a major key, mm-hmm. for, and most chords in this piece are major. I like the rhythm and the ostinato strings. Ostinato is a complex word in music, meaning an ongoing pattern or consistent pattern, repeated over or something repetitive. And okay. Strings do that a lot. So this is something that it has done throughout this piece, and if you listen closely. So I also like the change that comes up a little bit later. We'll hear it's a flute, Japanese flute, I think. Mm-hmm. Really nice. It's a nice change because it's still in the same vein of being a, you know, kind of a positive inspirational piece, but it has this this new instrument that comes in. It's a solo instrument. It's just some kind of Japanese whistle or flute. And my last notes on mine are the mix of the solo instruments. I think there's a solo oboe that comes in. And there's solo strings and brass. Here's the Japanese flute. But that's what I liked mostly about it, was the overall adventure vibe that I got from it was just the overall blend of the woodwinds, brass, strings, and of course the other ethnic instruments.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that too. That I didn't really notice that as much until I listened to it this time. I think I missed that part where mm-hmm. it goes into sort of the traditional Japanese instruments. That's a neat part. It sort of mellows out there a little bit. It's mm-hmm. the only part of the song where it's really kind of like not like super boisterous, joyous, happy, you know.
Right.
It kind of goes
right.
into this sort of like kind of thoughtful, you know, mellow sort of part, which is really pretty. Yeah, this is a good one. What did I write down? Happy violins, exciting crashes, very positive. Mostly the same stuff. Yeah, the keys were interesting. There's some key changes towards the end of it that
got one right now.
The part we're hearing right now. Yeah, yeah, it starts kind of like ascending. Like it's got mm-hmm. these like sort of really positive sort of climbing things happening.
Yeah, there's a lot of climactic areas in this piece. It's not just one area. It's kind of similar to Gravity Rush. It's constant energy throughout. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot about it. And that like you said, it's ascending, and then it goes back in the original key. I think he does like a 4 minor, and then he goes back into the original key, which is pretty awesome.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Nice. That's a good one. What concrete things do we want to write down to pull from this song?
For me, just kind of a similar thing with what we've been talking about, the adventurous side of it, the cinematic side of it, and that's pretty much what I get from this one, since it's straightly symphonic and
yeah.
Orchestral. Not many synths in this one. It's live, so there's not many synths or anything we can add to that on that
yeah.
element.
It is interesting, though, like with the Japanese traditional instruments, mm-hmm. like... Maybe that's something that we could, you know, this is kind of like it's blending the kind of standard orchestral stuff with some of that, and that's a little different. So
that is different, and we can add something to that.
Interesting flavor.
Yeah absolutely.
So, yeah, cool. Let me see if there's anything I want to point out. I think that's mostly it. Like it gets really, really positive sounding, that's nice. But yeah, I think overall. Maybe we kind of sync up on that. Like maybe we can, mm-hmm. you know, the adventure with the blend in a little bit of.
He's a very unique instrument.
Traditional orchestral instrument thing.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. This next one comes to us from Hammock of KVGM, The Last Wave. It's a podcast about real smooth VGM. He picks some really cool, like more chill and jazzy songs. On his podcast. It's a good listen. So he brought us a track from a game called Monstania. The track's called The Road to Adventure, and that is by Noriyuki Iwadare. Man, leave it to Hammock to bring the coolest, jazziest adventure track. Like, there is adventure here, but also it is like chill. It's good. Yeah, I really liked this. This is from a Super Nintendo game. I've never heard of the game before, but I'm curious about it now that I've heard some of its soundtrack. But it's good. It's cool. It kind of reminds me of Secret of Mana. There's something about it. I think it might be the flute sound with the there's that part of the where there's sort of like the sort of riffing jazz flute solo.
Yeah.
And I think there's something like that in Secret of Mana. It's this very like new agey sort of feeling thing. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right here, actually, and it's playing. Yeah, it's super. That's
it's
great. I love
improv
it.
A little bit. You know?
Yeah, it is. It sounds very improvised.
That's what I was. Yeah.
The other thing I noticed about this track was the bass. There's this really like kind of funky slap bassy thing, like bringing it back to episode 2 of VG Jam.
Yes,
with the funky bass.
Yes.
but yeah, this has got some of that going on too, which I think is cool.
It is neat. Yeah.
What do you like about this?
I like the melody that it begins when. It's about to repeat now, but the melody that can't comes in on the first section, the synth sax.
Okay,
this part right here, pretty cool because it's pretty structured melody. It sounds a little improv, but it sounds like it's still structured. It's like a melody that's thought out, you know.
Yeah,
and I like that, but I like the changing of instruments from the synth sax or whatever that is to the flute in the second section. I like that those sections kind of complement each other.
Yeah.
The synth piano that accompanies the melody that you're hearing in the background, Rhodes or that piano, and then that synth vibraphone that we're hearing now. Mm-hmm. I love that. It's pretty cool. The chords that the vibraphone or whatever that is supposed to play, but then I have the repetitive bass line, which is awesome. it's funky, but it's also almost like you said, like a fast new age piece of music.
Yeah,
you know, that's kind of the kind of vibe.
Yeah, these instruments all sound very, it sounds very Super Nintendo to me, this track in general. Like there's some characteristic of that I like. And actually, on a recent episode of the Rhythm and Pixels podcast, they had Cameron Childs, aka Bruce Irons of the Mad Gear Band, on as a guest, and he was talking about trying to compose a piece of music that sounded like Super Nintendo, and he said that like he had the sampled sounds that were like the same samples that they would use on Super Nintendo. It still didn't sound quite right to him. And he figured out why. And it's because on the Super Nintendo, they had these DSP effects you could add to your tracks. Mm-hmm. And there was a reverb. And he noticed that like, oh, this reverb is in a lot of Super Nintendo games. And it is like the secret sauce to make it sound like a Super Nintendo game. And he mentioned that there's a VST plugin for it. And I totally want to go find that and slap it on something that we put in this song.
Definitely. Definitely.
But I've got a lot of nostalgia for that Super Nintendo sound.
Good.
So
cool, man.
Yeah, maybe hopefully we can pull a little of that in somehow. I don't know how this is all going to mesh, but we're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
That's
your takeaways.
That would be maybe something, we get a little bit of jazz funk in there somehow, and like got to get some of that Super NES sound, like little Super NES reverb.
yeah, that'd be great. The reverb would be good, and the even a bass line, having the bass line having something kind of rhythmic underneath the other elements that are going on. All the motion that's on top of the bass line, that's kind of what I'm kind of gathering, taking away from this one.
Okay.
Bass line, and then of course the chords, and it kind of reminds me a little bit of the, of course we're going, I know I mentioned episode 2, but the Street of Rage, the dun dun dun, you know, the chords.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like that.
It's real, like
it's just pacing, like
real, how would you describe those? Real kind of basic.
Yeah, they're simplistic chords, and they're just kind of back and forth, and forth, you know, and I like that a lot, and we can definitely incorporate that in some kind of composition that we do with the rhythm. The rhythm, too. I don't know if we mentioned the drums in this, but
oh yeah,
the drums are really The groove is really cool too. I like the groove in this. So
yeah man, all good. I really, it's a good track.
Great. So this next track is from Super Nintendo. It is the title theme for Illusion of Gaia by Yasuhiro Kawasaki.
Oh, and this one's brought to us by Jay Gangsta from Game That Tune. Thank you, Jay Gangsta. More good Super Nintendo music.
Very good, man. This is another adventure track. I liked it, and I chose it because of the march-like kind of vibe that mm-hmm. it has. A lot of triplet action going on with the snare drum, the triplet synth. I'm not sure what that's supposed to be, like a harp or something, but there's a lot of just up and down arpeggios.
Yeah.
That's a word music for... just kind of like a chord structure that goes up and then back down. That's mm-hmm. essentially what arpeggio is, and there's a lot of that in this music, so it's really good. A lot of modulation in this. In fact, I noticed while listening to this is that it's there's several sections, like this softer one that we're hearing now.
Mm-hmm.
There's like four different sections before it returns to the original. You know, recap the original key and the original section, which is unusual, which is pretty neat because you got usually have like an A B and then an A again or something like that.
Uh-huh.
This is really neat the way it has this softer section and then it goes into something else and then it goes something else and then it goes back into this.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
That
it's
is
really
interesting.
Neat.
You know, I hadn't really noticed. I mean, I noticed that it was kind of changing, but I didn't really make those like distinct
I didn't notice that it was like distinct sections.
Yeah.
And thinking about that after you said it, like, I think this plays during the intro to the game. And I'm wondering if there's some sort of like cinematic thing happening that's a backstory or something. I feel like it might have that. I recently got this game and started playing it a little bit. And I need to go back and check and see if that might be what the case is. It might have been scored to kind of meet the beats of that intro thing.
So it's like an intro when you're waiting to press start.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So cool. That would be interesting to see.
What were your notes on this, man?
Let's see here. The climbing strings and the big drums, they bring the drama, you know. You know, I liked that militaristic snare thing again, kind of like in the other song we had earlier, and the harp. I thought that was a neat, when it slowed down, it played that little kind of harp arpeggio thing mm-hmm. that you mentioned. I like that. Yeah, the low string samples in this, or like, I don't know if it's a sample or if it's a synth string thing that they're sampling. Either mm-hmm. way, it's sampled because it's Super Nintendo, but it sounds like the strings, exact same sample that's in like Wing Commander, I think. Because I remember it being in other games too.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm like, oh, this sounds like Wing Commander. But yeah, that's something that's like that's a very distinct flavor of Super Nintendo to me.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was mentioning earlier, the triplets and the arpeggios. It sounds like that's the similar sound of either the Super Mario World main title screen or something, or the first level. I remember hearing that same thing, and it's like, oh, that sounds, so there's some similarities there.
Yeah, that's cool. Interesting, we'll have to find that.
Cool.
That's another good track. I like that one.
So what are our takeaways on this one?
It's kind of stealing from what you said, but I do like the triplet parts to it, and some of that drumming in the slower part. It hits those triplet notes, 1 2 3 1 2 3 1 2 3. That sounds cool. It sounds mm-hmm. cool over the kind of quarter note structure of the rest of the thing, you know. And also just the general kind of Super Nintendo-y sound. So I really like that sound in general, like those samples and things, just like they bring me a lot of nostalgia for just playing those games around that time in my life. So, yeah, it's kind of some vague takeaways maybe, but what did you think that you'd bring from that?
Mainly the march sound of it. And I know we're repeating, but the triplets kind of made it the march, kind of march like vibe, which it was like kind of a fanfare march kind of sound.
The word fanfare popped into my head. I think I might have written that down somewhere too. Yeah.
And we can incorporate that in our piece, you know, kind of like, and I think it was the one of the other previous ones that we've heard so far that was also fanfare, and there, a lot of them are fanfare, and we can definitely add that in there, some triplet action and stuff.
All right, our next pick comes from Volt Supreme of the Volt Supreme's Dream Stream Machine podcast, one of the wordiest titles for a podcast ever. His podcast is synth music focused. It's good. It's pretty new. He just started out. He's on like his third episode, but it's a real entertaining listen. This is a great pick. I love this one. It's from Legend of Legacy. It is the main theme, and this is by composer Masashi Hamauzu. I believe that's how you pronounce it. I'm not sure. But either way, here it is.
Thank you.
So, Chris, why did you select this piece?
Because it's amazing.
I shouldn't have to ask that question.
So good. Oh, gosh. Hamauzu. I heard his stuff from Final Fantasy 13, and, like, that was a name. Like, once I found his name, I was like, this is somebody that I think is very interesting. And I kind of went down a little rabbit hole listening to some other stuff that he made. And he's got this style that is just, like, symphonic, but also he does this stuff where the production of it is just super well done and polished, and he's got like this real modern sound mixed with like live instrumentation that is sounds like it's just being played by like the best performers in the world, you know, like it just all sounds so amazing. Specifically this track, I like how the beginning like starts out small and kind of blooms into this bigger sounding thing. The piano parts sound really, really nice. Just goes along with all the rest of the instruments that sound really great. That whole contemporary blending of that sound with the symphonic music. I really like that that the part towards like maybe the middle of the song where it gets really weird and sort of scary sounding, like dun 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 dun, like it just gets really strange for a second. That's surprising and interesting, and I really like that. And like it leads in and out of that, like it'll, you know, how I like how it kind of goes from that into this sort of like relief, this sort of like kind of calmer, beautiful part that like relieves that tension, and then it kind of goes back into it again, and it's like, I don't know, like there's definitely like drama happening amidst all of this stuff, and it's just so cool. Golly, I just love it. Right. Like, I love this guy's music. He's so good. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I've got some notes myself. The thing I liked about the beginning was the fact that there was no really set key signature when he started. Mm-hmm. He was constantly playing these chords that were outside of the key signature that he started in. That may sound confusing, but they were just incredibly just warm sounding chords that he would continue, like right now he's just kind of playing in a key, but all of these chords that are outside of what's normal, I should say. But and what I was going to comment on that is that the closed chords. Now, a closed chord in music is when the music, the strings, like, so for instance, is what he did in this, the first section was the strings were very close together. So they're very close together on, say, if you saw it on piano, they would be all close together, closed in.
Okay.
And he does that really brilliantly in the beginning with the strings. I love that warm sound. The solo violin, the melody, the solo violin, I like that a lot. I also enjoyed the synth groove in the middle section that you mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
That groove kind of took over that section. You know, it was tense and then it was relief. So it was a contrast between the sections is what I liked about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Just opposites almost.
It starts out with this very symphonic thing and then it segues into this like really kind of mechanical, like electronic kind of based pop sort of sounding thing, maybe not pop,
right.
Pop might not be the right word for it, but it's this very contemporary music sort of sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so neat. I love
it's,
that.
It's a lovely piece. Yeah.
Great stuff. I think for takeaways on this one, I believe maybe we should just make our piece sound amazing. you think that's a tall order?
I think that's a good challenge, and all I right. think we will do it. We will... make something sound amazing.
Yeah, we'll do our best. I love the contrast in the parts of this, like the way that the tension flows from this symphonic thing to the kind of weird thing, the weird thing we'll call it, and how it does that sort of like, it's not super jarring. It's surprising, but it like still flows together and is interesting and like all feels as part of the same whole. I like that. I think that's mostly what I want to bring from this is that interesting transition and the production just sounding so good.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't get a live orchestra, folks. So we're not going to be recording, you know, 80-piece orchestra, probably like this piece right here. I think what we could take away with this one would be the contrast, like something not too opposite, but just something that would have a little bit of a bump and then a change, and then maybe go back to that original section, you know, something like that, something that we could transition back into where the listener is actually going to say, oh yeah, I've heard that before. That section sounds familiar. Oh yeah, this melody, I've heard it before. You know, things like that. I think we can definitely, you know, compose something with that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. So the next two picks, these are our personal picks. What do you have for us, Matt?
Well, I've got a track from the Super Nintendo again. It's the Brinstar Jungle Floor theme from Super Metroid by Kenji Yamamoto and Manako Hamano.
Thank you. Oh, I've got such fond memories of this game. Such a good game. One of my favorite games. One of everyone who played Super Nintendo's favorite games, probably. But Matt, tell me about what you liked about this track.
Well, first off, nostalgia.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching you play this game, and I played it, and this was a lot of fun. It's probably my favorite Super Nintendo track. Music of all time of the games that I played. This is up there for me too.
Yeah. Like I'm pretty sure it's my favorite track in this game. I've got about two that I just love to death in this game. But like this is
this is up there.
A good track.
Yeah, and the thing I like about my notes were basically the syncopated bass line, and we talked about syncopation in the first episode, I think, when I mentioned maybe Bubble Man or something else, but we talked about how it's rhythm in between the main rhythm. In other words, one, two, three, four. Well, that's the main rhythm. And then you've got the one EN, a two EN, a three EN, a four EN. So in between the beats is syncopation. And the bass line is very syncopated in this track. So that's what I really loved about it. But what I noticed about this track just now, I've heard it 300 times in my life probably, and there's no melody in the first section. There's no melody.
Huh.
So the melody that you're hearing now, da-na-na-na-na-na, that's the first melody that we're hearing in this piece, which is interesting because now we're about to go back to the beginning and there's really not a melody here. Like it's just the bass
it's
playing it.
Rhythmic and it's the cool orchestra.
And the synth choir and all that. But what I like about it as well, my last, I'll conclude with this, is the inconsistent groove. That may sound like a bad thing, but it's like there's not anything consistent except the snare. So you're hearing the snare play just on two and four, beats two and four.
Yeah.
And besides the snare, like there's just like a and then something else plays, and then something else plays, and then something else plays. So it's like it's all meshing together perfectly to create this constant rhythm.
Yeah,
and that's what I really like about it.
The syncopation works with
so
that.
Good.
It's like everything in the song is like creating the rhythm, sort of. Right?
Yeah, so not just the bass and not just the groove or the beats, but all of it.
Yeah,
but the choir kind of keeps everything together, I think, because
that makes sense.
It's just one on beats one and three, and even quarter notes and even whole notes. I mean, it's very slow. Just like, see, that's one per bar right there. So it keeps everything together, but everything underneath it's more complex.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's cool. Those are great observations. I love that. I think just like sonically, I love the song. Like it just, there's so many, like the orchestra hits and the choir and the drum sounds and all this, mysterious synthy stuff going on. I just love all of that. It just sounds so good to me. I just love that vibe. Yeah, that's really kind of, that's sort of the main thing. It's, this is very otherworldly. It is a different kind of adventure than the adventure we've listened to in these other games. But
it
this
is
also like you are adventuring into a mysterious place that, is the unknown and, has different stuff going on, but
higher tech adventure.
Sure.
Like musically, it's different, but it's still adventure. Yeah.
Yeah. I could imagine like listening to the last track, maybe it's breaking into like where it had those weird kind of like contemporary rhythmic sort of parts that came in. Like maybe it's something that sounds more like this or something, maybe that's how we weave these things together. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll think about it and play with it some, but yeah, we've got cool bits and pieces to work with. Yeah, anything specific? Did we talk about that already?
Well, I mean, I think putting a groove like this together would be incredible. To put a groove like this underneath a cinematic style or a symphonic orchestral sound, putting this groove and even a bass line like this underneath all that. That's kind of what my takeaway is on this.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like not just a straight groove, but this groove kind of has different elements and it all puts itself together when you're hearing it. So that's kind of my takeaway with this.
Cool.
It's really neat. Yeah.
Yeah. I dig that. The sound design and it's cool. Like I love that. Mm-hmm. I want to bring that, those really interesting kind of instruments and sounds, into our piece from this.
Yeah.
And all the cool things that you said.
Yeah, definitely. I'm envious of these composers. They're amazing. They really knew what they were doing. Yeah. They were well-versed in their craft.
Yeah.
They really were very talented.
Don't be envious, be inspired.
Inspired. Yeah, that's a better word, isn't it?
Yes.
That's great.
Cool, man. So on to my pick is Ys 1 and 2 Chronicles, First Step Towards Wars. And this is composed by Yuzo Koshiro, and this version is arranged by Yokihiro Jindo. This song rocks so hard. It is so rocking. Oh my gosh. Ugh.
I love orchestral rock. That's what I call this.
That is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. This. I kind of had a hard time choosing like between the different versions of this. This game has been remade like many, many times, and you know, back from like PC 98 to Sharp X68000 Japanese home computers, and like TurboGrafx. CD had a version. Like, there's just been, it's like, it was a popular game in Japan, and they, you know, have remade it a bunch of times, and all those versions are good, and they've all got some interesting stuff going on with, like, you know, the distinct kind of sound hardware from each of those things, and I kind of wanted to pick those, but this guitar is so rocking, like, I could not leave this behind. I had to take this version. This is from the Ys 1 and 2 Chronicles version of Ys 1. And it's basically the music that plays when you're kind of out there in the field for the first time fighting bad guys. I played this game like probably a year ago. It's part of the Rhythm and Pixels Game of the Month sort of thing. They were playing East games, and I had never played one, and I picked this one. It's a fun action RPG where you literally collide into enemies in order to fight them. But it's a cool game. And man, the soundtrack is like this arrangement of all the songs in this game is just like so, man, so good. So good. This is a Falcom game, and the Falcom sound team, like, they're known for making these like totally rockin' but symphonic at the same time soundtracks. So, man, everything they do is great, in my opinion, because I like the rockin'. Let's see, what did I like about this in particular? Aside from how well it rocks, it's kind of climbs and builds energy towards the beginning, and it's like driving the whole time. It is the adventure, but you're just going out on the adventure to just kick monsters' butts, you know? Yeah, like,
right.
Those monsters don't stand a chance if you've got the song playing in your head.
Nah.
It's interesting, like, listening, like, the orchestral stuff is there. It's kind of in the background, though, just kind of supporting the super present electric guitar in the foreground. Mm-hmm. You know, the melodic stuff that's going on there, the noodly shreddy stuff. Noodly shreddy stuff that I'm probably gonna like drive myself insane trying to reproduce with my limited guitar skills. But anyway, there's also like, it seems like there's a lot going on instrumentally in this song. There's this piano part that I noticed listening, like in the background, where it's just like this piano is just going to town. Like, it's I didn't notice it before, but like, it just sounds like somebody just, like, if the piano was present in the foreground, like, that could be the song, you know? There's just so much going on that's, like, intense at the same time. I don't know, complex. Like, it's not just they're playing chords. It's just, like, playing chords, you know? Like, all over the place. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. what did you like about this, Matt? I have...
Oh, gosh. Yeah, this is... This is a very, very fun piece to listen to. I like the contrast between the rhythm and the power chords on the guitar. They alternated. It starts out with the rhythm underneath the lead guitar, and then the power chords later just like, you know, just, I mean, pretty much the power chords are like one per bar or one or two chords per bar. And then it goes back to the alternates back to the rhythm guitar. And I love that a lot.
It's got that real like muted.
Yeah, it's chugging, yeah. It's going, yeah. And the piano repeats the melody, which is nice. You have the lead guitar come in, and then the second section, the piano leads that, kind of answers to that. But it kind of where the guitar left off, the piano comes back in and plays the same melody.
Yeah, I noticed that. That was cool.
And what I liked about the orchestral part is that the strings do not sound lush and large. What I mean by that is they sound chamber. Sound like a smaller section of strings, which is really cool. If I were to write a piece like this, I would just naturally write it like I would write it with like a 22 piece or 40 piece string section. Mm-hmm. This sounds like a 20 piece or even less than that chamber string section. So that's what I liked about it. When the strings came in, I was like, wow, that's a smaller ensemble.
That's cool.
So it's pretty neat. I'm guessing, of course, the drum set that just drives this song or the P track that all the way. It just, the groove doesn't change much throughout the track, which is what I like. He has a couple of fills here and there, but the rock drum set just keeps everything driving. Of course, the guitars and all that stuff too. But the orchestral rock hybrid, I loved in this.
Yeah,
I love the way the strings and the piano complement the guitar and the bass and the other guitars and the drum set.
I would say that's Falcom Sound Team's signature sound. So if you dig that, look for other Falcom games, because a lot of them do that sort of thing.
Right.
The piano part in the middle, like that was neat. Like the way the lead guitar kind of goes away for a minute so that your head doesn't explode, and then the piano comes in and gives you a little break.
Yeah.
But that's good.
Good.
Good stuff. All right. Oh, man, that has given me the energy to drive home now. takeaways for that song for me, I think just just the rocking guitar in that thing is good. I love the rhythm part with the muted jugga-wuggas. Those are fun to play. And just the solo-y, shreddy stuff is just so good in that. The sound is good. That piano part in the middle is great, though. Like, I love how it went from one instrument playing the melody to another, and I think maybe that's something cool that we could try to do.
Yeah, yeah, I think that would be one of my takeaways from it. It would be the that's another contrast, but it's a good contrast with a lead guitar as clean and loud as that guitar was in the mix. All of a sudden, you got a piano playing it, and you know, a lot of that times, you know, a nice distorted guitar and piano don't mix, but in this track it really did well.
Yeah.
We can do that. We can make a composition with something that starts out really strong and then, you know, have something that just, you know, lightens up a little and then comes back in really epic.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think that works with the structure of some of the other stuff we talked about too. So that's cool.
Definitely.
Yeah, that lead guitar sound, it is, I believe, two guitars harmonizing for most of that.
Yeah, they are.
There's like a melody and a harmony going at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's very, like, I feel like makes me think of old Metallica or something, you know. That's cool. That's back to that, like, 80s metal sort of stuff.
We'll definitely harmonize in our composition. Yeah, I think we should do that. I think we should put a melody, put a harmony, put something underneath that, maybe underneath that. And then a groove. I mean, just make it
100 million layers.
Yeah, well, in certain sections.
Yeah, sure.
But then we break it down.
Oh, yeah.
We break it down into something light and then bring it back.
Yes.
Like,
I'm into this vibe. It sounds good. It sounds good.
Cool.
That is it. That was 8 tracks, Matt. I feel like that was a good number. We're going to see how this works out, though. I feel like those... Oh, man, there's so much good stuff to pull from, though. It's gonna be fun to try to put these things together. Again, I want to thank everybody who submitted tracks. Every suggestion was great. We're going to go back and listen to the ones we didn't pick for the actual song on our recap episode, just as a fun little bonus. Thank you again to all of you. You can find us at our website, vgjam.com. Get in touch with us. Leave a comment or send us an email, podcast@vgjam.com. You can also find me on twitch.tv/steen3d if you want to watch me stream some old video games or do some 3D modeling or make some pixel art or maybe do some chiptune stuff. Who knows? I do all kinds of stuff on there. Some of it might even be interesting. So, yeah, find me there. Matt, where can we find you?
Well, I do have a website with my music and IMDb links and video reel. At Matthew E. Sargent, Matthew E. as in Edward or Earl Sargent.com. Matthew E. Sargent.com.
And until next time,
keep jamming.